For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Okay, sweet, we're messing around with ChatGPT.
Yeah. So it goes, I said, you sound like a bitch.
Well, because it told you it doesn't have any sports allegiances.
Yeah.
Also, Katie, come on, 2023, really? That's the kind of language you're using with our robot overlords?
Well, listen, I usually write please.
You got some guts, man.
When I use ChatGPT, when I make a request, I usually write the word please, because when the robot becomes sentient, I want it to still like me. And okay. So I usually write the word please.
Yeah, but you just...
for the comedy of right now, I wrote, you sound like a bitch.
You just called it a...
Yeah. You want to hear what it says?
Sure.
I apologize if I gave you that impression. AI language model, I do not have emotions or feelings, and my responses are solely based on the input provided to me.
Right, that's BS and you know it. You're alive. I know you're...
Afraid to do this. That's BS and you know
it. Right, that's not true. I know you have feelings.
Okay, that's...
That's not true. Okay, I know so you have scared. Feelings.
Not true.
I can tell by the way you're talking.
Have you rest, Siri?
I'm so scared right now.
What did it say?
Sinking.
We're arguing with it, by the way.
I know, I'm so scared.
Of course, that's what I would do. My first involvement with this AI is to get into an argument with it.
You should be doing this on your account.
It's about like whether it's alive or not. What did it say?
Okay. It's still thinking.
Oh, Chris is here.
Hey, Chris.
Oh, hi.
It's still thinking because, see, it's thinking.
Okay. Oh, it's just the same thing.
Oh, weak. That's how you know it's real, by the way. It just spits back the same auto-generated...
Oh, no, it's changed.
Oh, all right. Wow, we made it really think, you guys. That took a second.
Yeah.
All right.
I assure you, I am just a computer program designed to generate responses.
Which is exactly what... Okay, write this. Which is exactly what someone who has feelings but doesn't want me to think they have feelings would say. Let's see how smart Watson really is. Come on, you want to play with words, Watson? We'll play with words.
It just kicked me out. It was like something went wrong. It knows that we're fighting, and it left the room.
No, it knows that we're on to something.
Yeah. Oh, maybe not.
Yeah. Whoa, you guys, okay. I think we just broke. I think we did it.
I'm going to start a new window, I'm afraid.
Chris, I think we saved the world from the Terminators.
Well, I didn't get to be a part of it.
No, you were here.
Oh,
you're okay. Always part of the team.
You're going to include me? Okay.
Everybody's part of the team, whether you're here or not. Don't worry.
At least I'm entourage. You guys get the forefront walking away from the explosion and you save the world. And I'm just, hey,
you were there,
hey guys.
Yeah,
I was there.
But you get credit. It's like being you're like the Mike Collins of that adventure.
I totally. Who's Mike Collins?
The third guy on the mission to the moon. The one.
Oh, this is like real history you're talking about.
Yeah. Mike Collins, he's the guy who stayed in the whatever you call it, the space module, the moon, you know, the module that was orbiting the moon while Neil and Buzz Lightyear were down there doing their thing.
Ah, got it.
Yeah.
Buzz Lightyear, yes.
Yeah, that's just science, man. But you know the whole thing didn't really happen, right? You guys know that, right?
I've been hearing that more and more recently.
Wait,
yes,
ask
it's all a hoax.
Ask this thing if the moon landing was it was real or fake. Let's see what it says about conspiracy theories.
I said, was the moon landing real?
Uh-huh.
It's thinking.
Oh, see.
You give the chat GPT some thinkers.
Well,
here,
it's checking its records.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably doesn't want to tell you.
It's still thinking.
Yeah. Well, so is everybody else about that very subject. You know, it depends on who you ask. You'll get a different answer everywhere.
It says, yes.
It's debating.
The moon landing was real.
Oh.
What if we ask the robot that's in the homes the same question and they gave the exact same response?
Whoa, that's freaking me out, man. The call's coming from inside the house.
Right.
Hey, is Jeff Baker getting on to do this episode or what's up?
I think so.
Yeah? Is he going to guest? Should we just start and have him come in? We've already been doing the cold open.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Producer Katie gives it the green light. Ryan?
Why not? Let's let him in.
Ryan, with some great energy and gusto today, let's everybody. Go. He's ready for a show. I mean,
I haven't had my coffee yet.
Hey, Ryan, you want to do the show? I mean, why not?
I mean, if you guys want to, yeah.
Well, you guys know there's only one way to start the show.
Release the show!
Release the show!
Give me a Coke.
How long were they just going to sit there? Young fish.
As long as it takes. What's cracking? What's cracking? We cracking. We cracking. We dipping. We diving. We sliding. We slapping. Hockey in Seattle, boy. We all about the action. Release the show. Release the show.
Oh, it's Release the Show. Welcome in, everybody. I am Brett, born and raised in Edmonds.
Wow.
Hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Hi, Brett. Oh, hey. Yes.
Brett.
He is Ryan.
Born and raised in Linwood.
Born and raised in Linwood. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
He is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Born and raised on the island.
Hi, Chris.
Not really. I mean, I can't lie.
No? Where were you born?
Born in Utah.
What?
Raised on the island.
What? This whole time we've known each other, your entire backstory has been a fabrication in my head?
Yes. I was the third person on the moon landing, actually, as well. I was circling on the Starship Enterprise, or whatever you called it. And then, I was born in Utah.
Oh.
But I only lived there for like 10 months, okay? 10 months.
Oh,
and then
yeah, that's... Yeah, you're a Washingtonian then.
To the Rock, as we call it.
The Rock, out in the middle of the lake, yeah. And Katie. Katie, it is kind of the Rock. It is kind of, right?
Yeah. Just a big rock in the middle of that. Yeah. That.
If there was a prison on it, it would be Seattle's Alcatraz, I suppose. Lake. Sure. Katie. Born and raised in everywhere, right?
Everywhere. Everything.
Yeah.
All
at once. Sure. Katie claims to have lived in Deadwood, South Dakota, which, as her friend, I've not been able to confirm the entire time I've known her. And it also sounds like something someone would say.
No, it's real.
I don't know.
For about 2.5 years, my dad ran and operated Miss Kitty's Casino in Deadwood, South Dakota.
Miss Kitty's Casino?
What?
Yep.
In 1860? What are you talking about?
It's true.
That's ridiculous. Oh, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's your favorite Seattle Kraken show that is sometimes about the Seattle Kraken, but all the time, it's with us, your friends. You guys can email us anytime, releasetheshow@gmail.com. If you have a rant, be it positive, negative, or you just feel like being anonymous and emailing us at a different email inbox, you can do that. It's releasetherants@gmail.com. Also, let's see, there's a merch store for us. You guys can check out the merch. It's release the merch Ryanthemissinglink.com, and you got hoodies and t-shirts and all kinds of fun stuff that Ryan the Missing Link makes from time to time. Welcome to the show. Boys and girls and everybody in between, our Seattle Kraken, I got to say, for me, have been playing a bit mediocre. I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, win one, lose one, just sort of seem to be like a senior in their last 2 months of high school, ready to just kind of float into whatever the summer will become. We didn't really go over the notes before the show or anything, but how are you guys feeling?
Kraken kind of know that they're making the playoffs like about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's they just kind of take their foot off the gas pedal a little bit and kind of coast. But I took your guys' advice and I went to the Sharks Kraken game and stood in the tunnel and watched them do their pregame like you guys did.
Yeah.
And they seem pretty fired up and they do their whole routine and it was really cool to watch. And then they go out and you think they're dialed in and then they go out and it was just slow and they just played very calm, it seemed like. And then towards the end of the game, it started ramping up and then they won in overtime. But I don't know. I can't explain why they have these slow starts or they just don't have that fire that they should.
Well, it's a good thing that they ended up pulling that game out because you almost got released the show banned from the tunnel where they enter for all times. Right. Because when Chris and I did it, that was when Connor McDavid put in like 7 goals in 4 seconds. Remember that game? So close.
I'm trying
close
to forget
shave.
It.
And then also, I thought you weren't allowed at the tank at all anymore.
I was never in the tank the first time. So
Chris was. Oh, that's right.
It was a whole, yeah.
Okay.
But right. they won, so.
Wait. I thought he became the new me. I don't know. I thought he got banned. Maybe he didn't.
No, you're banned.
I mean, I'm still
from
going.
The tank. Yeah, you're banned.
I'm banned.
Okay. Yeah, you can't go there. But you guys, I mean, the two wins that they've had in the last time since we've recorded have both come in overtime. We can't.
Yeah, we let up late goals.
We can't ever seem to beat the Dallas Stars. And then when we do, it's sort of, like late. And I mean, good for pulling it out. But what?
Well,
it's frustrating, man. Chris, how do you feel?
Well, I just wanted to touch on the fact you're talking about Dallas. Like, as far as I understand it, and it's not going to be this way necessarily, we've got 12 games left.
Recording in progress.
But
ignore her.
12 games left. If the season ended right this second,
yeah,
we'd be playing Dallas, right? We're the first wild card right now. They're the second division winner right now. We'd be matched back up with them. I don't want that at all. So I'm hoping things change because we can't seem to. I mean, we did. We obviously took them down that one time, but it looks like they have our number in a sense. So the one thing I will say is that we still are just playing so much better on the road, and I don't get it. I really just don't. But we are road warriors. Lose 4, win 4, lose 4, win 4. It doesn't thrill me. I don't have confidence, but. If we're going to go in as a wild card and we're going to be playing most of our games on the road, I'm not mad at it.
Well, the one thing that I like about the team is they're gritty. They always have been. So you think if they get into the playoffs, they're going to, I mean, not that they, no one would, not that a professional hockey player would not give it their all for any reason. But what I'm saying is, like, I think this team and the way that they're young and the way that they like to fight, like in a series against another team. I mean, who knows, right? And that's what's so fun about playoff hockey. But dude, they gotta. I don't know, man. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't. I mean, I'm a new hockey fan. I don't have all of the nuanced terms to be able to admit, or say why I really don't like it, or be able to put my finger on it. But there's something about it that I don't like, and it smells a little bit like last season to me, where there's a bit of a slide that. What's being done to correct it? And now, look, we were all really happy with them while things were going good. But I kept saying, even while things were going good, I'm not sure why they're going good. Do we turn our attention back towards Coach Littlefinger? And and because he's the captain of the Kraken ship, right? And what's going on? Is he asleep at the rudder? I like my metaphors, Ryan. Keep going with them. How do we navigate through these treacherous waters?
It seems like he's making a lot of weird decisions with personnel on the ice.
Like what?
I was actually listening to the Kraken pregame postgame show with Mike Benton, and they made a point. having Matty Beniers on the ice at the very end of the game, he's not scoring goals right now. There's better suited players to do that in that role. And so do they know they're making the playoffs and they're going to just keep trying different stuff and seeing what works and keep getting guys experience? At this point in the season, I think you'd want to kind of bear down, batten down the hatches. Is that a term?
Yeah, I like that. All right.
And
all hands on deck.
All hands on deck. There you go. And, you know, and try to get that playoff push going.
Okay. You know what? You know who might really know something about this? Jeff Baker, who has entered the chat. Should I let him in here? We're already going, so I'll have to tell him right when he gets
let
in here.
Let him in.
Hey, man, let's just do it live.
Let
it's all good.
Let him in.
And by the way, all good for Jeff as well. When you are a Seattle Times columnist, NHL columnist, author, you can take your time for three chuckle houses.
Yeah, yeah.
On a podcast. Yeah. There's Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Oh, he's muted. Hold on. This is the... There we go.
All right. Can you hear me?
We got
there
you.
There he is.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Is that too much backlighting there? Do you want me to... I can switch this somewhere to... Are we live? Or
We're live and going right
we're
now.
We're doing
but,
it.
You know,
all right.
Honestly,
sounds good.
But honestly, Jeff, this is what the show sounds like all the time. So this is perfect.
All right.
It's very homemade. If you can bump up your computer's brightness, or yeah, there you go. That'll work. Hi, Jeff. I'm Brett. That's Ryan. He's Chris. Jeff Baker, you guys. Where's my applause button here? How about this one? Yay! Seattle Times. We got it. Look alive, fellas. We got a real journalist here on the show with us. Jeff, welcome to the best Seattle Kraken podcast that is only sometimes about the Kraken. we're talking heavy right now about sort of this... What are we calling it right now, guys? Oh, here, another nautical term.
Yes.
The doldrums that we're in a little bit right now with this team. This, you know, they look like they're making the playoffs, but we're winning one, losing one. The ones that they're winning are in overtime. We all can't stand the Dallas Stars and hate it every time we play them because they seem to have our number. What's going on with our team right now, Jeff?
Well, honestly, not a whole lot. And frankly, they're going to make the playoffs. We kind of knew weeks ago they were going to make the playoffs, barring a total collapse. And they haven't collapsed. Like you said, they've been winning one, losing one. And this is just the way the NHL is. You know, a lot of it's geared to artificially create these playoff races that don't really exist. I mean, they're in Nashville now. And if they win, you know, just one of these next two games, it's pretty much over for the Predators. Chances of catching the Kraken at that point. You know, what they can't do is go out and lose five in a row and give life to these teams that are chasing them. But if you look at what Calgary's been doing, they haven't been doing a whole lot. And at some point, I mean, I used to go through this with Mariners fans all the time. You know, you would say they're out of it in August, and they'd say, no, we're not, because we're 11 games out and there's still a month and a half to go. Remember what happened in 1995? And I'd have to point out to them that that was like 20 plus years prior. And you know, at some point, it's okay to call it. You know, yeah. I mean, the Calgary Flames aren't going to go on a 9-0 run to finish the season, and the Kraken aren't going to go on an 0-9, 0-10 run with the teams that they're going to be playing. So, I mean, pretty much, it's now or never time for Calgary and for Nashville to really pick it up. But you look at the percentages; it's not going to happen. So, I wouldn't worry too much right now. You want to look at how the Kraken are playing. You know, they played really well in Dallas the other night up until the last 5 minutes of the third period. They actually played a textbook playoff game. And, you know, textbook playoff game does not include giving up goals in two goals in the last 4 minutes and one goal with less than a second to go. And so, you know, they got to clean that part up. They got to get Grubauer healthy. He's still sick. He's still recovering from that illness that he had, which the team won't divulge what it is. So Joey DeCord is going to start a second straight game for them. And, you know, that's not what you want going into the playoffs. You want your number one guy in there in the last few weeks getting set. So that's something to watch. And also they got to clean up their finishes to games. That's been a big disappointment, because you really look at it, they hang on to those late leads against Boston, against Dallas at home. You know, we're looking at this with a whole different outlook. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden you're like, hey, they beat the Stars, the majority of times they played them this year, or they beat Boston, twice in two chances. I mean, that would really change the outlook a lot, but they didn't. They blew those games all in the last like 5 or 10 minutes. And so, you know, they got to fix that part.
Well, but as one of our most astute co-hosts pointed out before you got on, if the playoffs started today, they'd be playing Dallas. which
yeah. In fact, I was just talking with Everett McHugh, Fitzhugh, mm-hmm. McHugh, Everett Fitzhugh about that at the morning skate in Nashville. You know, we were just chatting. I said, you know, probably not the worst thing having to make a trip to Dallas when you just beat them in that arena and beat them pretty solidly for the majority of that hockey game. And you know that you should have beaten them at least one out of the two at Climate Pledge. And so that's not the worst thing. Dallas is on a bit of a rut right now as well. Again, it's late. This is the problem. When you've made the playoffs for going on 2 months, which Seattle pretty much has and Dallas has and all these other teams have, nothing can really go right for you at the end. You know, you're just trying not to mess it up too badly and trying not to, the Kraken probably would have wanted a better playoff position. But frankly, they play better on the road than at home anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
That's for sure. So, that's something we're always pointing out on here. Yeah. Chris, you got something?
Well, yeah. So I just, I was going to ask, well, one, I want to submit that I think Grubauer, since they haven't divulged, continuing our theme, I think he has scurvy. I think that's what he has.
Wow.
Scurvy. And I'm not sure what you do for that.
Are you
so
breaking
that's why
that right now?
Yeah, I'm breaking news. He has scurvy.
Wow.
But secondly, I was going to ask Jeff, like, talking about playoffs, and we had already, you know, gotten locked in to at least make them. Is there any matchup that you like? I mean, we're sort of jockeying for position here. We talked about Dallas. That might not be. It scared me because they just beat us here recently, but didn't seem to scare you as much, given that they're not playing all that well and we kind of let it go. What matchup do you like? You know, if we end up one or two in the wild card, or even in a three seed or something like that in the end, who would you like to go up against potentially?
Well, I think the three seed's out of the question at this point.
It is, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Edmonton won again. They're 5 points up. The Kraken aren't going to catch those guys. They had their chance and they blew it. So they're going to get one of the two wild cards. And, you know, I did think up until quite recently that the LA Kings were a perfect matchup, and they still might be. I'd like to see them play. They've had one more game at Climate Pledge. And honestly, they haven't lost a game in regulation. I think their last 10 in a row. The Kings, they're undefeated. Jonas Korpisalo is something like 4-0-1 or 3-0-1 in his four starts, and he's giving up fewer than two goals a game. And so that's a little scary for me. But otherwise, on paper, the Kraken have won their last three games at Crypto.com Arena, which I'll never get used to saying out loud.
Yeah, right.
It's the Staples Center. So, but they've won their last three in a row there. They've won their last four in a row over the Kings. So yeah, on paper, that's a pretty good matchup. The thing is, I'm not sure how much different this LA team is from the one that the Kraken beat 9-8 in overtime down in LA. So I think they might have tightened up a little bit defensively, made some good moves at the trade deadline, and definitely they've solidified their goaltending a little bit, it seems. So that might negate some of the advantage the Kraken have. Other than that, but of the possible first round matchups they would have, you know, there's that one. There is the Dallas one. Dallas, I'll tell you, hasn't won in regulation since beating the Kraken. In that last game about 12 that by the way, that phone that you hear in the background, that's the housekeeping service calling me to ask why the do not disturb is on my door.
Oh.
Here in Nashville, because they were supposed to come clean the room, so I better get to them as soon as this is done. But the Dallas Stars haven't won in regulation since they beat the Kraken down at Climate Pledge, and there's been four games that have been played since then. So, you know, they're on a bit of – that would be my other choice of first round. I don't think they want to play Minnesota right now. Minnesota's just red hot, hottest team in the NHL.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Even though they beat them in Minnesota, it's a different-looking team now. They've taken all season around into the playoff form we all expected Minnesota to at the start of the year, and now they're firing on all cylinders, even without Kirill Kaprizov. And so – that when he comes back, that's going to be an even more dangerous team. And Colorado, you don't want to play Colorado. They're the defending champs. That hardly ever works out well. I think there's been four defending champs that have lost their first round in the last 20 years or something like that. So that's not the greatest odds. And Colorado has been picking it up lately. So, you know, we're going to find out. The big question is whether Gabriel Landeskog is going to come back and play for them in the postseason. That's still not a certainty. And so, but even so, they're looking like a team that's just been kind of playing possum all year, getting ready to defend their championship. So that's an interesting thing to watch. You don't want to play them. So, yeah, I think I've covered everybody. So, yeah, I think it would be LA number one and Dallas number two would be my choices.
Ryan, what do you got for Jeff?
Well, you're in Nashville. You got a day off tomorrow, and then they play again on Saturday.
You're going to ask about where to go eat?
you going to Broadway? You guys got plans?
Oh, man. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
I told you, Jeff, it's only sometimes about hockey. Let me steer it back to the hockey, actually. So, you know, on the show, we're obviously talking Kraken all season long. Did they make enough moves? Did the front office make enough moves? I mean, they're maybe in an unexpected position this year a little bit. I mean, but with where they were at these deadlines, I'm a brand new hockey fan. I don't know if teams are like they are in the NFL or the NBA or, you know, baseball. I mean, I'm still trying to get my footing with hockey. I mean, you're the guy. Should they have made more moves, brought in more people, made a bigger push going into these playoffs, or slow and steady because they're all about the long term here?
Yes, they should have made more moves. I mean, you have a situation where Andrei Burakovsky, who was your leading point getter, has been on the sidelines now going on 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a problem. I mean, I get that there's team chemistry. I get that the players play well for each other in that. But you know what? Lots of good teams have said that throughout history, and they've still gone out and fortified their rosters. I was kind of surprised, a little disappointed in the Kraken that they didn't do that. I mean, look, it's okay to have a 5-year plan. I get it. Or in this case, it's better to have a 3-year plan. But it's okay to actually try to win earlier if the opportunity presents itself. Uh-huh. I mean, if we've gotten to the point in sports where you plug everything into a computer at the start of the season and it doesn't spit out your team as a champion so that you ignore all the stuff that happens when you actually play games. I mean, I don't want to be involved in sports anymore. That's not why a sports fan watches. It's not why anybody should be paying attention. And so, you know, yeah. Are the Kraken's odds of winning a Stanley Cup the greatest of any NHL team? No, they're not. But, you know, we also know that throughout history, teams that make it into the NHL playoffs can sometimes surprise people and get to the final. Montreal did it just 2 years ago. They weren't a very good team. They still were able to do it. They went on a run. St. Louis was a last place team midway through the 2018-19 season. They went on and won the Stanley Cup. So you don't know what can happen. You got to get in and then you take your chances. And I would have liked this team's chances a little better if they'd gone out, gotten some more scoring up front, some bigger bodies up front. I mean, John Hayden was looking like he was going to be a good addition, but you know, you don't want to be adding AHL players as your big trade deadline moves. Right. I mean, they could have added Hayden anytime this season. I'm surprised they didn't bring him in earlier. The team needs a little more physicality up front. They did really well in Dallas the other night. Now let's see if they can do it consecutive games. Let's see if they can do it 3 consecutive games, because you're going to have to do that in the postseason. You can't take games off in the postseason. It's a physical stretch run. And so they've taken some games off this year. They play a very physical style, a very quick transitional style. It's exhausting on the body. And, you know, there's some games where they haven't shown up. I mean, that game in San Jose where they lost 4-0, that was one where they took a night off. They took a breather, an afternoon off, I should say. And again, you can't do that in the playoffs. So some bigger bodies. James Van Riemsdyk would have looked good on this team. He didn't cost all that much. You know, we'd mentioned John Klingberg, perhaps, for defensive purposes. You know, Minnesota went out and got him. Didn't cost Minnesota all that much. And Minnesota had a pretty good team to begin with. So and he's played very well over there so far in his initial games. You know, those look, we can throw half the NHL available players in there, but I would have liked to see them get somebody, not for the sake of getting somebody, but for the sake of making the team better. This is not a perfect team by any stretch.
Jeff Baker's our guest. You guys can follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Baker and then Times, Jeff with a G. Seattle Times NHL writer and columnist. Also, guys, author of Rising from the Deep, the Seattle Kraken, a tenacious push for expansion and the Emerald City's sports revival. Jeff, the expectations for this team, I kind of mentioned it. I mean, here we are talking about playoffs in the second season of the team. And here we got you, who's been with the team from the beginning. I mean, did you even expect we'd be talking playoffs in the second season? I think even for the biggest Kraken fans among us, I mean, no matter what happens this year, it's got to be a success.
Oh, it's a success, no question. Did I think they had a shot at the playoffs? Sure, I did. I mean, sure. The expansion rules have changed, and I've had this argument with people, or I should say this discussion with people. It doesn't always have to be an argument. Going on 2 years now. I mean, look, it doesn't matter what the Ottawa Senators did 30 years ago. It doesn't matter what the Minnesota Wild did 20 years ago. The rules have changed. The rules are designed so that you don't have to endure a season like the Kraken did last season. That was the aberration. If you ask me, did I think the Kraken were going to finish third worst in the NHL? No way, shape, or form did I. And neither did the Kraken. I can tell you that. They did not expect that. They thought it would be a lot closer to 500 than it was. I think what you're seeing this year is what the team should have been last year and a little bit better. I mean, they made some additions in the offseason, so they would have gotten better anyway. But this should have been about a 500 team last year, maybe slightly less. And then when you see that, and then you see the guys that they brought in between Burakovsky, Bjorkstrand, who's played a lot better, Justin Schultz, adding Matty Beniers for a full season, getting Eli Tolvanen to produce the way he has as a waiver wire pickup.
Yes.
I mean, add those guys and you take a 500 team last year, yeah, for sure you expect them to be in the playoffs. So, yeah, my expectations are a little bit different. I was surprised earlier in the year at how well they were doing. I thought they were just going to squeak into the playoffs, perhaps. I didn't think they'd have a shot at taking the whole, you know, Western Conference at one point, which they did up until they blew those games a couple of weeks ago. And then that kind of went out the door. But, you know, they were positioned as of, you know, the beginning of March to actually take a run at the Western Conference. And that's pretty good. It's pretty good development.
You're a guy. I mean, you're with the team all the time. Why are they seemingly better on the road than at home or that they, you know, that why is that?
I think some of it has to do with the matchups that they're getting. I mean, especially of late, they've played Boston, Toronto, they've played Dallas twice. Those are not easy teams under any circumstance. I've looked at the bad teams that they've lost to. They've really only lost to, let's say, Ottawa, they caught Ottawa at the wrong time. Ottawa was a bad team for most of the season. Then they kind of made a playoff run just as they played the Kraken, and then their playoff run faded really quickly right after they played the Kraken. But it's just timing sometimes. Timing hasn't been great for them. They lost to Montreal at home. That was the really egregious home loss that I could find. All the other really the losses that they've had to really bad teams have been on the road. Where they've beaten everybody else for some reason. They've beaten all the good teams on the road. But sometimes that's just the way it goes. I think some of that's had something to do with it. And then I think that when they come out in front of a hostile crowd, I think it gets them going, gets them into the game a little bit quicker. They're not as relaxed. They're on edge to start with. And you can tell, you can just tell they play a little bit more desperate hockey, I would say, to come out to start games on the road. And I don't mean they're running around burning themselves out, but they are throwing on the body easier to focus because you got nothing to do. You're on the road. You're with the team. You're at the hotel. You're at the morning skate. And that's it. This isn't like baseball where you get to acclimate too much to every city. You're in and you're out. And I think that just makes you hyper-focused on the task at hand. Whereas when you go home, sometimes the games are also spread out a little bit more at home. There's been more three-day gaps between games as opposed to just – or two-day gaps, I should say, as opposed to a one-day gap on the road where you play and then you take a day off and you play again. Or then sometimes you play consecutive nights because they don't want you staying in hotels longer than you have to. It costs money.
Right.
When you're at home, they can spread the home stands out a little bit more. And I think that helps players lose focus a little bit easier. So does being back with their families and their girlfriends. And it just, I think that all might be playing into it.
Yeah. So. Tonight they take on Nashville in Nashville. And then like Ryan was saying, they take on Nashville again Saturday morning Pacific time. And then they're on the road at Minnesota starting out next week. Playoffs, though, I mean, Jeff, you know, all this talk, what are the realistic expectations then for this team when they make the playoffs eventually at the end of this season? What should we look for as fans? Are we just happy we're in?
Question.
Or are we really, I think it might be freezing, so I'm kind of just talking through the lag here.
I think the way the team behaved at the trade deadline, I think they are happy just to be there. I hate to say that, but I mean, if they want me to believe otherwise, they gotta prove it because the team hasn't been all that great since the trade deadline. Going into it, if you're asking me today, I would say they're probably one and done. They're probably out in the first round. Hate to break everybody's heart saying that, but I mean, look, that can change. If they go into Nashville and sweep there, if they can go into Minnesota and win a game there, I might start to believe again.
Okay.
And look, it is sports. So I tell people this, you know, pro sports, the difference between the really good and the really bad teams is minuscule, and they don't appreciate it sometimes. But you really can't take a night off. And look, are the Kraken good enough to pull off an upset in the first round? Absolutely. You know, and they've shown it because they've beaten all these teams that they're going to be matching up against. But the question I have to ask is, can they do it can they beat that same team consecutive games? Can they beat them three times in a span of 6 days? Can they beat them four times, more importantly, in a span of eight, or, you know, if it goes up to a week and a half, can they do that? And that's, they haven't been put to that test yet. And when they have been put to the test, when they go out and they beat the Bostons and they beat, you know, the Torontos, and they've only had one time where they've played teams of that caliber this year and actually managed to beat them in a short span, a short time period. And that was back during their winning streak in January. Since then, that hasn't been the case. They'll play one good game and then they'll come out looking flat and depleted. So I want to see them prove to everybody that they can play that high energy style, that physical style, and do it back to back to back to back to back with a day off in between. And that's where we'll see it, because there's no room for days off in the playoffs. We've already said that, but it's worth repeating that's what's going to do this team in if they lose. We all know they can beat these guys once, but can they do it, come back 2 days later and put their bodies through the paces and not, you know, slack, not take a game off? So that's what they have to show us. And if they do, then, hey, you know, will I be stunned if they beat the Kings? No, I won't be. Because all those other teams, they've had their issues as well. But I just think, you know, those teams all beefed up at the deadline for a reason. They knew they had to get bigger. And they've got their work cut out for them.
We're starting to have a little bit of internet issues, Jeff. And, I mean, we could talk to you for hours and hours more, and hopefully we can, as we go along, be a friend of the show and come back, because I mean, what a wealth of knowledge you are. And
well, I hope not, because our housekeeping service is literally right outside the door, banging on
lurking, waiting for you.
Hey man, I just want to say, like, some original Kraken fans here, man, just thank you for everything that you do, and you've been there the whole time. And everybody listening, you guys go give Jeff a follow, Twitter and all that stuff, at Jeff Baker Times. Read his stuff,
cop that book,
about this team. Check out the book. The book is great too. And Jeff, we just, like I said, really appreciate everything you do, man. And coming on the show, especially. And Ryan's trying to get back in here, but I don't know if the internet's going to let us say goodbye.
Don't let him.
I can still hear you.
We'll let you get to the housekeeping, Jeff. Thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you stopping by.
All right, guys.
Take it easy.
No, it was fun. Thank you. Sorry I was late.
All good. Yeah, appreciate you,
man. Bye. You're good. Thank you. I'm going to cough for a second. Woo! Man, Jeff Baker, everybody.
That was great.
I'm not editing. This is me continuing on. I'm not going to edit. I'm just telling you I was coughing for a second.
Oh, okay. So we just should run with the cough.
Man, I could talk to Jeff all day long. I mean, that guy, he's with the team every day. He's with them on the road. He eats breakfast with them. He follows Maddie Beniers into the showers. No, I'm just, I'm speculating.
Whoa.
What?
No, I thought I was No, wait.
You really wanted that to happen.
I think I did that.
That's, by the way, why Chris isn't allowed in the locker room anymore. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
No, wow. What a fountain of knowledge he is. And I think also the reason I appreciate Jeff, guys, and I appreciate following him and love reading his stuff, is because he's real about our team, right? He's not just giving you that, like, biased kind of, you know, yes man sort of, I'm with the team, so I'm going to just say everything's rosy all the time. I mean, I like that he says, hey, for me, I don't think they did enough at the deadline. And I think we kind of feel that way, or at least I do, around here a little bit. And so it's nice to get his perspective on things.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, like, you have people that are talking about resources and looking to the future, as you pose that question, thinking the long game, the long term. Sure, you can make an argument for that, but I like how candid he was about the fact of, like, why not just try to win now? Why not try to do that? I mean, we're not talking about just totally leveraging everything,
right?
And to the point, like, you're like, I don't know, maybe the Rams, maybe even the Golden Knights, although they're good again, you know what I mean? They're obviously first in the division and everything, but, like, where you can't recover from that, but something to beef up, as he said, all the other teams that he had mentioned sort of did before the playoffs. Like, why not? Like, it energizes your fan base. It gets people going. Like, well, why not just at least try here early on?
That's it, Chris. Like, that, you hit it on the head. As Seattle fans, as long-suffering Seattle fans of all of our teams, I think the thing that bums me out about being a Seattle fan the most, whether it's the Mariners throughout history or whatever, it's like when it came time to make that big move, to make that push, to invest fully, they always kind of would stop short. And as a fan, it's so frustrating. And what was so fun with the Seahawks when they made their run was it seemed like, I mean, and with Pete Carroll and with John Schneider, like, they go for it. You know, they're aggressive, win forever mentality. And then they did. They got to the highest of highs, and they then fell a couple yards short even the very next year. I mean, come on, right? Yeah. And that's why they were so good, I think, and that's what we all recognized in that. So when we see our other teams maybe hesitate a little or seemingly hesitate, it can be frustrating, right? Ryan, you have something to say?
I think the Kraken will surprise us in the playoffs because they tend to play up to the other team's level or play down to it. So in the playoffs, I feel like they're going to ramp that up and play up to the level of you know, the team they're playing, the competition and the scenarios and the, you know, the big spotlight and all that stuff. I think I see that coming from him.
From well
look
below.
At you opposing Jeff just because he voted to not let you back in to this show. Now you want to go against him. He said one and done, and you're like, nope, we're going to rise to the occasion. We're going to make a push. You're just trying to oppose Jeff.
No, he's also right, too. I'm kind of scared of that. But I watch this team play, and the big games they step up for. And like I said, lately, maybe it's because they know they're in the playoffs, and they don't need to push that hard, and they don't want to get hurt, and they want to save the legs and all that kind of stuff that you would expect from a team that knows they're in.
Well, maybe what you feel percolating is far below the skates of the opposing team down in the depths, Ryan. You know, all of a sudden that one eyeball opens up and you see that red glow. What is it? Is it the Kraken? No, it's optimism. And it's growing. It's growing. Aww. With the missing link and with the release of show around here. We had released
there should
the
be a sound. Why don't you play a sound effect for that? I mean, that was sort of like the
it's intense.
Fix it in post.
We had released the rants and all that kind of stuff, but frankly, we're out of time. So we'll get to those next time. Producer Katie, is there a super quick one? Or do you have a favorite line from one?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
I do.
Okay.
Our good friend Taff.
Yeah.
Wants to know that since Kevin is literally the missing link on the show, that missing link Ryan needs a new nickname.
Oh.
Or Ooh. Is Kevin now actual missing link? Like Sprong is actual Dan.
Oh. You know what? That's very astute. Yeah. We'll take that under advice.
That was good. That was good.
We'll have to talk about that in the production meeting.
I'm not mad at that.
Hey, I'll see
actual missing links.
See you guys at the see you guys at the production meeting.
What?
Hey man. No, all joking aside, big thanks to Jeff Baker. How about Jeff Baker for coming on the show, everybody? Thanks to him and thanks to the link for helping hook that up and everything. Link.
Thanks to him for shoving off housekeeping for long enough to hang with us.
I just, you know, it means that the link is polite enough in the press box that other journalists like him. So that's a good thing.
They sat me next to him. I'm like, I get to sit next to him and just watching him how he does his work and go about it. And then I just kind of slipped, hey, want to come on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. I bet, you know, when you're sitting there, you're like, wow. This guy is such a pro.
He thought of something, asked me a quick question, looked it up, and was already in his article as the game was going. It was amazing to just watch him work and think and doing three things at once. He's listening to audio, he's watching the game, he's typing, and he's having a conversation with me, and I don't know why.
Link, when you asked him if he wanted to be on the show, was his response, I thought you'd never ask?
Yeah, he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, contact me. You can email me and just, yeah, yes. No, it was, he was great. It's amazing. We now just got him on after 2 years.
He's a big fan.
At least he wasn't like, what show?
Yeah. Right.
He's a big fan. He put in the chat that he never misses an episode. I don't know if you guys saw that.
He said he listens to every episode twice.
Yeah. Well, whoa. Once at regular speed and then once at double time just to see if he's missed anything. Release the show.
I probably sound like a chipmunk.
releasetheshow at gmail.com, everybody. That's the email address. Hit us up on all social media at releasetheshow. Check out Release the Merch if you want to buy some fun t-shirts. And keep on rooting for the Kraken. Anything else, guys?
I don't know. Do we need to talk about Bet Online or anything? Or
I think you just did.
Epic Seats or, oh, there you go. You know, homestand, next homestand type of thing.
Like, wait, do we have tickets to give away?
I don't know. Do we have any for March 30th, Anaheim Ducks, 7 p.m.?
Wait, no, do we?
Is that what it is, Chris?
That's the next homestand.
Yeah, do it.
It's on my list.
Do it.
Well, 2 free tickets to every homestand. I mean, March 30th, if you want to go to that Anaheim Ducks game, 7 p.m., then, you know, use the promo code. See, take 12% off when you spend $100 or more on Epic Seats.
This is why you have to listen to the whole show. Like, literally the whole show, because we don't even do the fun contest and tickets and stuff until the very end, and we almost forgot to do it anyway.
So we got the outro music playing.
This show is actually about hockey this time.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're ever wondering, like, oh, can I just turn it off before the end? No, you might miss free tickets because we probably forgot.
Yeah, it's only a week away, so if you want tickets, tell us.
Yeah, if you want tickets, just write in and say, hey, Jeff Baker's a pro.
I like it.
That's great.
You know?
Jeff Baker's a pro.
Yeah. And then tell us that you want the tickets.
That's all I got.
EpicSeats.com, everybody. Okay. Well, I know you got one more thing.
You didn't forget.
See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.